Welcome to this podcast, which follows our Sunday gathering on Sunday, the 11th of October. For those who've been following us, you'll know that we've been exploring Paul's letter to the Ephesians in recent weeks. And this week we're looking at a passage from chapter 5, which is very much about walking in the light and growing in the light. I'm going to read this passage and read also a few verses from Matthew 5 in a moment. And then I'm going to ask you to actually pause the recording for a little bit, as I want you to go and do something before we continue. But I'm first of all going to read the passages that we're looking at today. So firstly, from Matthew's Gospel, chapter 5, verse 14. You are the light of the world, like a city on a hilltop that cannot be hidden. No one lights a lamp and then puts it under a basket. Instead, the lamp is placed on a stand where it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your good deeds shine out for all to see, so that everyone will praise your heavenly Father. And then from Paul's letter to the Ephesians, chapter 5, beginning at verse 8. For once you were full of darkness, but now you have light from the Lord. So live as people of light, for this light within you produces only what is good and right and true. Carefully determine what pleases the Lord. Take no part in the worthless deeds of evil and darkness. Instead, expose them. It is shameful even to talk about the things that ungodly people do in secret. But their evil intentions will be exposed when the light shines on them. For the light makes everything visible. And that is why it is said, "Awake, O sleeper, rise up from the dead, and Christ will give you light." So be careful how you live. Don't live like fools, but like those who are wise. Make the most of every opportunity in these evil days. Don't act thoughtlessly, but understand what the Lord wants you to do. Don't be drunk with wine instead, because that will ruin your life. Instead, be filled with the Holy Spirit. Sing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs among yourselves, and make music to the Lord in your hearts. And give thanks for everything to God the Father, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. So I said I'd like you to pause at this point, and what I'd like you to do is, if possible, is to go and find a piece of fruit, maybe an apple or a pear or a banana, or dried fruit would be fine. Or if you prefer your vegetables, maybe a vegetable, obviously one that's safe to eat raw. If for some reason you're not able to do this, then you'll just need to use your imagination a little bit and perhaps imagine your favourite fruit or vegetable in your mind. Just think what it looks like, what it tastes like, what texture it is. So go and do that now and come back with your piece of fruit or vegetable, and then we will move on. So hopefully you've done that. I just want you to think for a moment. Look at that piece of fruit or vegetable, or imagine it in your imagination. Think where it's come from. Think how it's grown this year from a tree or a seed or a root. How the water and the nutrients in the soil and the light in the air have come together to make that fruit or vegetable grow into something that we can eat and enjoy. And we know, of course, that the things that we eat and enjoy, they need such things. They need the nutrients from the soil, they need the water, and they need light, sunlight. The seeds that are in the ground are buried in darkness, but respond to the light above them and basically come out of the ground as sprouts. The trees blossom in the light of spring as the year turns on, and they respond to that light, and then they produce fruit which grows throughout the spring and the summer. And of course, in one sense, we're talking about natural processes, processes of photosynthesis, in which plants can convert that light energy to other types of energy, essentially food. But nonetheless, it's still a marvel, it's still an incredible process, isn't it, that our plants can take, quite simply, the air from around them and the light from around them and the water from around them, and turn it into food that makes them grow. And of course, we're very much thinking about fruits as we reach this time of year, when we reach the end of that time when we pick our fruits and vegetables and we celebrate all the bountiful gifts that God gives us in remembrance of harvest. Today's theme from Ephesians and Matthew is all about light, but it's also about light that makes us grow. Paul, in his letter to the Ephesians, talks about living in the light and being children of the light, but he also talks about this unusual phrase, fruit of the light. In other words, the light that comes from God is also responsible for making us grow into all goodness. Now, of course, light is a theme that occurs throughout the Bible. In the very beginning, at the beginning of Genesis, of course, the first words of God are, "Let there be light," and it was his first act of creation. At the end of the Bible, in Revelation 22, it says that the people of God walk in the light of God and the darkness is banished. There are, of course, references to light being a guide throughout the Bible. For example, in the Psalms, where it talks about God's word being a light and a lamp to our feet, a way to show the way to go. And of course, God himself is described as light, for example, 1 John 1:5. And then in the Gospels, we hear, and particularly in John's Gospel, how Jesus came and brought light and life to the world and overcame the darkness. The metaphor of light is also used for the actual people of God. And in the Old Testament, there are occasions when the people of Israel were called the children of light, or told to walk in the light of the Lord, for example, in passages throughout the book of Isaiah. And of course, this theme continued with the early church as they lived in the light of Christ and shone that light to others. And so, turning to our reading today, particularly from Ephesians, more than any other book, one commentator has described this great letter that Paul wrote as one that displays the great purpose and plan of God for the church. Let's just hear that phrase again. A letter that displays the great purpose and plan of God for the church. And we've been exploring this letter in recent weeks. Of course, it starts off in chapter 1, in which Paul outlines the spiritual blessings that occur in Christ, that we are a people chosen by God and inherited as his children. We are sealed with his Holy Spirit as a promise. And Paul overflows with thanksgiving and prayer that his readers might understand what God has really called them to. He then goes on in chapter 2 to talk about how we are saved by grace and through faith. It's not something we've had to earn. It's not something we've had to do. But nonetheless, the result or purpose of that, the result that comes out of our salvation is that God has works for us to do, things for us to do in the light of that salvation. And then, of course, into chapter 3, there's that amazing truth that God has intended to show his wisdom and his presence through us, the church. And maybe that's something we don't reflect on often enough. And maybe sometimes the church doesn't live up to that calling. But nonetheless, it's incredible to think that when the world looks at the church, it should be as though God himself is revealed. Then moving on to chapter 4, Paul urges his readers to live up to the calling they have. And the themes occur of both unity and diversity, the church being unified, having one faith, one purpose, one Lord, one baptism, but nonetheless having diverse and many gifts, but using them all together for the common good. And these are some of the thoughts that Nick expounded last Sunday. And then, of course, towards the end of chapter 4 and into the later chapters, Paul then begins to think more practically about how, therefore, we should live as members of that body, as members of the universal church, as people who have been saved and are called to demonstrate our faith towards others. Maybe a key verse in Ephesians, and certainly one that always sticks out for me, is that first verse in chapter 5, "Be imitators of God as dearly beloved children." In other words, we are meant to reflect our parents, our Father God, and be imitators of him. And so in chapter 5, Paul begins to expound this idea about walking in the light, walking as children of light, letting the light of God grow fruit in our lives. And he makes reference to three particular things: goodness, righteousness, and truth. In other words, we should be growing what is good in our lives. We should be doing what is right. And we should be living lives that are full of truth and integrity. And how much so is that needed in today's world and in our particular situation today? Paul, of course, spends time contrasting the light with the darkness. And again, thinking of our analogy of fruit growing or vegetables growing, things don't grow in the darkness. Even when they're planted in darkness in the ground, they seek out the light. But things don't grow in darkness. There is no life there. There is nothing good. We need light to help us grow. Paul also uses a phrase in which he says, essentially, make the most of every opportunity because the days are evil. And of course, it's hard to talk about anything these days without thinking about the current COVID situation. And certainly the days do seem evil. They seem uncertain. And in some ways, they seem hard again as we're headed through the autumn in towards a winter of uncertainty, maybe rising rates of COVID, maybe increased restrictions, and the hardship of being in some ways separated from those that we love and care for, and separated from the things that we have done for much of our lives and no longer can do, at least for a time, is so hard. But here Paul, as elsewhere in his letters, calls us to be wise. He accepts that life has its ups and downs, but nonetheless, there are still opportunities. There are still opportunities that exist to do good, to shine light, even though the situation seems so dark. And I was reminded as I was looking at Paul's letter, actually, that this should draw us back to the vision that our church has had, that vision that we explored and prayed about and came to understand a number of years ago, and which of course is reflected in our church's vision statement. For those who've either been able to come to church recently or who have watched it on Facebook Live, you'll notice that one of the things we've had to do is not only reorder church, but we've also essentially had to move things round. And essentially the front is now one of the side walls. And of course, up on that side wall, we have essentially some poster areas with those three words that reflect our church's vision: pray, grow, and go. And so each time we gather, either there together in the church itself, or we gather with those also on Facebook, we see those three words and are reminded of that vision. And there, of course, is pray. It's important to pray for ourselves and for others. But from this passage, we're reminded that we have to pray particularly, one, to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Paul says, be filled with the Holy Spirit, because, of course, it is that Spirit that will produce those fruits of goodness, of doing right and truth and integrity in us. And so we should pray for ourselves and for one another to be filled with his Spirit. He also talks about being wise, and we should pray for wisdom, knowing what to do and how to respond to the circumstances of the current situation. It's very easy to go one of two ways, isn't it? Either get overwhelmed with all the darkness that there is in there with COVID, or to try and ignore it and pretend that it will go away. But Paul calls us to be wise and make the most of the opportunities we have at the moment. So let's pray for that wisdom. Secondly, we're called to grow. We're obviously called to grow in our faith, and this passage explores that concept of growth and living in light and walking in that light. And we still have to find ways in which our faith can grow. It's, as I say, more difficult for us to meet together, but nonetheless, we are called to somehow share fellowship with one another and find a way of doing that. And obviously also to ensure that we find time to spend ourselves individually with God in prayer through his word, through reading and exploring things that are wholesome and good. And the question, I guess, simply is, what are you holding on to? Who are you linking in with that's ensuring that you are growing in your faith? And then, of course, thirdly, there is that go. And of course, this does seem particularly hard to do at present, given that we are so limited with where we can go. But nonetheless, we are still called to shine the light. And this links in with that brief passage from Matthew where he says, you are the light of the world. And I guess we have to ask ourselves the question, how can we bring light to people? Who can we touch with that light? Who do we know who is currently sitting in darkness and needs something, whether it is a phone call, a video message or something, or just reaching out and showing them that the light does still shine in our world, and we are bringing that light to them. So let's be comforted and challenged from today's passage. Let's be comforted and remind ourselves that we are children of light and we live in God's light, and God walks beside us and comforts us, and we will get through this. But nonetheless, let's also be challenged that we are still called to be light ourselves. We are still called to grow in our faith. We are called to pray for ourselves and for others, to be wise, to be filled with the Spirit. We're called to grow in our faith, and we're called to go and somehow shine that light to others. May God bless you through the thoughts, through the reading of His word today, and through this following week.